Good morning. Welcome. Good morning. This is Pastor Roy Carter from the New Life Christian Fellowship Church located at 1529 North Wisconsin Street here in the city of Racine, Wisconsin, 53402. Our telephone number, 262-417-7363. Our website, nlracine.org. That's nlracine.org. Good morning to each and every one of you. We tell you once again that our office is not manned and we're not meeting in the sanctuary, but the love of the Lord still continues with us. And therefore, as a New Life family, we still gather together. We meet here on Sunday morning that we might hear a word from the Lord. And so we say to you, good morning. This truly is a day that the Lord has made, and we find ourselves rejoicing, and we are glad in it. God has kept us. Think about this. God has brought us to the end of February. God has kept us through these 2 months of 2021. And if he can bring us through now, he can keep us through to the rest of the year. Our God is faithful. Our God is well able. And our God loves and cares about us. We just want to say to you this morning, as we oftentimes try to remind you of, let's be mindful of the things that we need to do to make sure that we are practicing as our health officials give us. We're washing our hands. We're sanitizing. We still got to do these things that we might stay safe. So wash your hands, sanitize, practice your social distancing, all of these sorts of things we want to continue to do that we might stay safe. Wear your mask. Every time you leave the house, get that mask and put it on that you too might stay safe. We say to each and every one of you that continue to contribute to our church, to our fellowship, to our ministry, we say thank you. Thank you for your financial support. Many of you give through the Givelify app. Thank you. Some of you give on our church website, which goes through PayPal system. Thank you. We thank you for what you give to us that the work of ministry might continue on. Now, maybe you haven't given to us before, but you desire to. We say, reach out to us. Give your donation that the work of ministry might go on and know that it is greatly appreciated. We still even have some people that will send a check in the mail. However you need to do it, just continue to give that work of ministry may continue to go forward. Now, we've talked all this month about some things as relates to love. You know, it's Valentine's Day is in February. You know, the whole idea of February being the month of love. We've talked about these things. And one of the things that we've looked at when we talked about the love, and in this case, as always, we're talking about the love of God, the love that our God has for us. My mind this morning took me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, because it opens up asking a really interesting question. 1 John chapter 3, as relates to the love of God, the love that God has for us. And I'm just going to read to you 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse number 1. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is purified. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. When we talk about beholding here, what manner of love, it's kind of an important idea to say, consider. really think about what it is to this love that God has for us. Think about it. And he's saying it in a way that I kind of view it as those of you that drive, when we drive, we are giving constant attention, or we should be, to our speedometer. We are giving constant attention to our speedometer to make sure that we stay within the speed limit. So we're not going too fast. We don't want to go too slow. We are paying. We don't just look at the speedometer before we leave the house. And then we don't look at it again until the next time we go somewhere. All while we're driving, we're looking at the speedometer, paying attention to it, and then governing our lives, our driving, according as the speedometer dictates. If we need to slow down, we slow down. If we feel like we can speed up based on the speed limit, we speed. We do these things as we consider what manner of love this is that the Father has bestowed or given over to us, that we should be called the children of God. Now, we find that our particular scripture here was written by the Apostle John, and he's also the same one that wrote the Gospel of John. You know, if you go back to the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the same John that wrote John, the Gospel of John, that wrote these other letters here. And it is in that Gospel of John that we find that Jesus is talking to his followers, to his disciples, as his earthly mission comes to end. And, you know, we call it the Last Supper. He's sharing in this Last Supper with his disciples, his last meal with them before the crucifixion is going to take place. And it is at this time that he is sharing with them a whole lot of information. He is just bombarding them with information in order to prepare them for what is to come, his crucifixion, and then even life after his crucifixion. And it's in there that he mentions in John chapter 15 and verse number 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then he goes on to define in that next verse what a friend is. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Those who obey. Those who obey. So keep that in mind. What manner of love is this that will cause Jesus to lay down his life for us? Let's go back a little bit further. In the idea that God sent his son. God sends Jesus, his only begotten son, that he might make a way of salvation for us. I got to go back a little bit further because I need you to get this whole picture. You remember back in Genesis chapter 1? It's in Genesis chapter 1 at the beginning of the Bible where it points out to us the fact that God took nothing and created the earth and everything that dwells in it. You know, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was nothing there. And God took this nothing and created the earth and us, mankind. And then by the time chapter 13 rolls around, chapter 3 rolls around, God has created mankind, made a beautiful garden and put man in it, and say, hey, everything you need for living is here. It's wonderful. Life is wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And by the time chapter 3 is rolled around, the enemy, the devil, has moved in and has begun to falsely accuse God, begin to speak to the man, to Adam and Eve, and tell them things that were not true. And they listened. And as a result, sin entered into the picture. Sin being that thing that God does not like, disobedience to God. When we miss what God has called for us to do and we miss the mark. We don't live up to the standard that God has for us. You know, y'all familiar with sin? When we disobey what God has said. And so sin set in. And this led to punishment of mankind by God, and it broke the fellowship between mankind and God. They're no longer friends. Now, God continued to love, but the existence is not good. Ever have where you were not in a good place with your parents, and so, you know, you kind of walk through the room tiptoeing, hoping that they don't notice you, so they won't say nothing to you, so that they won't bring up anything. You're walking through on eggshells. That's how man lived for years, walking on eggshells, knowing that they were disobedient to God. And then, out of God's continued love for them, you know, God can love you and not like the things that you do. Be dissatisfied with our actions, but God will always love you. Understand that. What manner of love is this? It's the love that in Romans chapter 8 and chapter 5 and verse 8, it points out God demonstrated his love this way. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What manner of love is this? Consider this kind of love. This love that will cause God to love us enough to make a way of salvation for us, to make a way where we can be reconciled to him, where we can be back on good terms with him, where we wouldn't have to tiptoe around him anymore, but where we could be together with him, sharing this love. And so God sends his only begotten son. Why would he have to send his only begotten son? It required a perfect sacrifice. It required somebody who had not sinned. That left Jesus. Jesus had to agree to come along and do what it was that God wanted. And by being that perfect sacrifice, giving his life on Calvary's cross for mankind, that's the kind of love that God has for us. That's the kind of love that God has for us. Consider the love God has for you, because if you consider the love that God has for you, it will cause you to respond in a certain way. It will cause you to act in a certain way. One of the things that we look at when we see this manner of love, this way of love that God has for us, it's a love that can be difficult to make sense. It's like, that don't make no sense. Well, remember, God is not like man. God does not think like man. God's ways are far above man. And it can be difficult to understand. It's not the normal way of doing things. Normal conditions say we love those who love us. We love them. We'll love them back. They love us. We'll love them back. Here, God is offering a love that many times is not returned in favor to him. But he loves us anyways. That he made the way of salvation for us. God loves us enough to make a way of being brought back together with him. That's the kind of love that God has for us. This love that comes from God. It's different. It's foreign to what we come to know in many cases. It's awkward from what we are accustomed to. And sometimes it's just not natural to us. But it's a divine love that comes from God. I often say God looks out for our best interest. He's looking out for what is the best thing for us. And we many times can only see the moment that we're in. What do I mean when I say we see the moment that we're in? Even today, it's Sunday afternoon. Well, it'll be afternoon in a few minutes. And many people have laid out their plans for this afternoon. I'm going to cook this. I'm going to cook that. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The reality is you may not live until 3 o'clock this afternoon. You may not live until this evening's meal. We don't know what will happen beyond the moment we're in right now. But God, in his infinite wisdom, knows everything. And he has prepared for us, out of this love, a way to be reconciled to him. In 1 John chapter 4 and 7a, It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is of God. We were created by God to share in this divine love with him. Our accepting the gift of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior allows this love to be enjoyed and shared by us. And we are thus then able to become his children. We're not loved as outsiders are loved. You know, many times, you know, you may love, if your house is the house where all the neighborhood kids gather up, you may have a few little snacks around there for everybody to join in. But you got some stuff that's just for your children. You know, I've heard it said that people said when they were growing up, mama would call them in the house one by one and feed them because she wasn't trying to feed the whole neighborhood. She was feeding those that she loved. Now, was she concerned and had a level of love for everybody? Yeah, but there were special things, perks, if you will, that were just afforded to those she loved. We're created by God to share in this kind of love with him. Apostle Paul understood how difficult it was to understand and grasp and get a handle on this kind of love. And he makes mentions in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. What manner of love? It's a love that flows from our Heavenly Father through faith to us in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul went on to pray that we would come to know as believers, we would come to grasp and get a hold of this love. Consider this love. Consider this love, as I said earlier, like you consider the speedometer when you're driving. You're paying attention to it at all times, and it is then dictating your driving. You want to pay attention to the love that God has for us, and that love then is dictating your life, that is dictating how you love others, how you love God back, how you respond to the love that he gives. Think about it. If you were in love with Boo, and you're doing all the things to show Boo how much you love them, and they never respond to your love. And even worse than not responding to your love, they turn around and, as we say, spit in your face. They turn around and do everything to defy the love that you give. You give them things and they throw them back at you. You offer them yourself and they rebuff you. They refuse you. You're not just going to keep going on. We got to find ourselves responding favorably to the love that God has for us. What manner of love is this? It's a love that is expensive. Understand this. It's expensive. Now, it's expensive in two ways, and I'm going to try to hit them both. John 3:16, that verse that we all so many know, it says, for God so loved the world. How much did he love it? That he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I always like to, I say, Apostle John wrote that verse, and then he wrote over in 1 John 3:16, something that supports that same verse, when he says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. He's expressing how expensive God's love is for us, in that God gave the very best he had. God gave the dearest thing to him, his only begotten son, his only perfect son. He gave for our lives, that the son might become the sacrifice to pay that price for us. That's how expensive it was. But God loved us that much. You know, a lot of times we judge a gift based on how much it costs. I've seen some people that I've given them a gift and they went and looked up online to see how much I paid for it. I know people that give gifts and they leave a price tag on them. They leave a price tag on them so somebody can see how much that gift normally would cost. Now, they fail to take into consideration that we all know you bought it on sale and you had 15 coupons to go with it, so you got it for free. But the idea that it costs this much means it's more impressive that way. God gave to us the gift that was the most expensive that it could be. His perfect and sinless son. This indescribable love. Consider what manner of love. This love that was so indescribable is what caused him to give his son and caused his son to lay down his life that everybody who wants to can be saved. Everybody who will can be saved. There wasn't enough money to pay this price, but God was willing to pay the necessary price through his son. It's costly and it's the most expensive, superficial gift, but it was worth it to God because of his love for us. And then we turn around and say, well, how is that? That ain't costing me nothing. For you to receive and accept and experience and share the love of God, it costs you. What does it cost you? It costs you to give up disobedience. It causes you to give up those things that would break the fellowship that God would want to have with us. It means I laid down the life that I had, the life that was leading to destruction. It means I put those things aside that I might partake of this love that God has for me. What manner of love is this? It's so expensive. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient to God to the point of death, even the death on the cross. That's what he was willing to pay. His own life for us, that God's love might be shown to what? What manner of love is this? Not only is it expensive, but it is life-changing. The love that God has for us, it is life-changing. He says, and Apostle John says in the Gospel of John, in chapter 15 and verse number 9, he says, as the Father loved me, this is Jesus talking. He says, I also love you. Abide in my love. Now, when we talk about abiding in the love, this is an invitation that Jesus sent to all of us. And he's saying, just live in my love. When you abide somewhere, that's where you live. And Jesus invites us to live in his love. Why would I want to live in his love? Because in his love, that's where I get the things that I need. That's where I get the things that I come to want. That's where I get the things that my soul longs and craves after. You know, I've had people to visit my house, and now people that I'm not so enamored with, I'm not so in love with. Somebody come here to conduct business, I'm not finna tell them, make yourself at home. No, you sit over there. You know, we gonna sit at the table. No, you're not going all through my house. No, none of that. But people that I love and I care about, they know when they come, make yourself at home. Ever say that to somebody? And when you say make yourself at home, you let them know that take your shoes off if you want to, kick back in the comfortable chair, here's the remote to the TV, what you want to watch, can I get you something to eat? If this ain't good, we'll go get something else. You're doing all of these things to make them comfortable. And here Jesus is telling us through his invitation to us, abide, live in, make yourself at home in this love that God is freely giving to us. We're talking about what kind of love this is. Abide in this love. Why would I want to abide in this love? If I live in this love, I'm then able to experience When I'm talking about experience, I can experience the mercy of God. I can experience the salvation of the Lord. And I can experience his rising up in my life and his kindness. Let me tell you what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 says, starting at verse number 4. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, I get to experience that mercy as I live in the love of the Lord. Because of his great love, with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, in our sins, even when we were doing wrong, he loved us and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when we abide in, when we choose to live in the love that God has for us. What manner of love is this? A love that is so big, so deep, so broad, so wide, so all-encompassing that I get to share the mercy that God has for me, the forgiveness that God has for me, the overlooking. And then God works to bring me up to where I should be. You know, sometimes you ought to get tired of living in muck and mire and down and depressed and down and out. But when I live in the love of the Lord, I'm able to experience being lifted up by him. He lifts up my bowed down head. He lifts up my circumstances. He brings me up out of a horrible pit, David said, and sets my feet on a solid rock. If I get to experience this kind of love, and this love is available to me, we get to make ourselves at home and live by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Many people have issues with their faith and believing and trusting in the Lord. That's because you're not accepting the love that God has for you. What manner of love is this? It's a love that is so broad, so wide, so deep, so everything, that he's going to make that way of salvation for me. And through this love, I gain a faith in him, that I can believe in him. I can trust in him. We get to make ourselves at home and then maintain a hope. Because Romans chapter 5, it points out at the beginning of verse number 3, we also glory in tribulation, and the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now check this out. He says in verse number 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, the love of God, what manner of love is this? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But we only get to share this as we take in, as we live in the love that God has for us in through his Son, Christ Jesus. It's a divine love for God our Father that it can be difficult to make sense to us. It is the same divine love that our Father has for us, that it can be expensive. It's an expensive kind of love, and it will bring about the changes in our lives as we abide in this love. As we abide in this, as we live in this love. Make yourself home in the love that the Lord has for you. Don't treat it like a one-time drive-by, a one-night stand thing. No. I want to live here. You know, when I moved into the house that I live in now, I brought everything I own with me, because this is where I'm living. You want to bring everything that you have with you. All of your problems, all of your insecurities, all of your failures, All of those sorts of things that through the love of Christ that you abide in, that you now choose to live in, a change can be made in your life. It's hard to change outside of the will of God, outside of the love of God. And many times we may bring about what we feel is a change. It's temporary. It don't last but a hot minute. But through him, we can experience the change that is necessary. Consider, behold, what manner of love is this? Consider what manner of love this is. And all of this can be summed up in Romans chapter 5. If we go into Romans chapter 5 and go down to verse number 7, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us. Hear me. God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. We need to consider this love that God has for us, and then we need to open our hearts and receive this love, share this love, experience this love, because it's for us. God has this love that is for us. And I see too many people going through life struggling to live life when God would not have you to live life. He's offering to us. And he says, remember he said, whosoever will, anybody, whoever wants, he just wants you to want to. That's all. He just wants you to want to. That's all. Find yourself considering this love that God has for you. When I consider the love that God has for me, it causes me to not do some things because I know that would be displeasing to the one that I love. It causes me to do some things because I know that's going to make happy the one that loves me. I'm going to do those things. Now, I need to put this in there because many people struggle with this. We feel like sometimes that When I give my life to the Lord and I start walking with him, and then I fall, I fail, I mess up, I slip, I do something wrong, that's not the end. And you ain't got to stay there. It's just like, now here where I live, we got a bunch of snow on the ground. The other day, it snowed 17 inches in one day, in one snowfall. It was a lot of snow on the ground. It was a lot of ice everywhere. Now, I thank God didn't fall. I said, thank God, because I'm getting older. And when you get older, you worry about some bones breaking. I didn't fall. But I saw some people that did fall. I didn't see not one person that I saw fall just lay there on the ground. Oh, well, I slipped. Oh, well, I fell. Oh, well, I'm down here on the ground. Oh, well, this is the end of my life. Oh, well, too bad. No. Every person that I saw fall, quickly as they could, they got up. They got up, they brushed themselves off, they took care of whatever that need might be. Because sometimes somebody falls and they tear their pants, they rip their clothes. Well, they got to go home and get some more clothes. Sometimes when somebody falls, they may actually hurt themselves. And now there's blood running everywhere. They got to go get that tended to, go get some stitches, go get a cast put on it if they're broken. They do what they have to do to meet that need. But then once they get up and address the issue, they go on where they're going. They go on. When you slip and fall after you take that walk with you make that connection and you say, I'm going to accept the love of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to admit my sins to him and then be forgiven of my sins. If I slip and fall, let me take the word slip out, because sometimes we don't slip. Sometimes we just fall. We just go and do what we want to do. If I fall, I got to just get up and go to him. 1 John 1:9 just puts it in a nutshell. It says, when we sin, because it points out in that scripture text there, everybody goes sin. Everybody does something wrong, but it should not be your way of life. When I sin, I just got to confess to him my fault. Admit, own up to it. And then the very next line says, he, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I challenge some of you today to find yourself. Don't be satisfied to lay there in. You done failed. You done slipped. You done fell down in sin. Don't be satisfied to lay there. Instead, get up. It does not have to be your destiny. It does not have to be your future. Just because you at one time, you did slip and fall. Okay, yeah, I did. But I'm forgiven now. And let me share this with you. The devil, the enemy of your soul, will come back and try to remind you about what you did. Yeah, I did a whole bunch of stuff in my days. I've done all kind of crazy stuff. But just because that's what I did, that does not determine where I have to go from here. I'm forgiven. Forgiven by him who loves me. Him who paid that price, him who loves me with a love that it doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes. It seems irrational because I'm thinking about it the way people love. But God's love ain't like people's love. So today, I want you to consider what kind of love God has for you. For you. What kind of love God has for you. And then find yourself doing what Jesus said. Abiding in that love. He invites us to come in. Find yourself going on through the door and living in that love that you might share. I like when I go visit my sister, she is a caterer. And so that means she always got some food around there. She always got something to eat over there. Okay, yeah, y'all know I like to eat. And she'll tell me pretty much, I will ask only because I don't want to eat something that, you know, she bought for a client or something. And she'll be like, help yourself. Now, one time as she sat there and just said, I want some popcorn. And she hand me 2 kernels of corn. No. She said, go in there and get what you want. And I go in there and eat as much as I want. She has given up her bed to let me sleep in her bed because it's the better bed there. And she's like, no, I want you to sleep in here. Now, one time as she said, okay, you've been in the bed too long. Get up out my bed. No. She lets me make myself at home. How much more if we abide, live in, make ourselves at home in the love of God to us, that we then get to experience the things that God has for us in abundance. In abundance, no shortage. There's no shortage of the mercy that God has for us. There's no shortage of the peace that God has for us. You know, we sometimes God will get us through today and we already worried about tomorrow. Well, guess what? God has something for tomorrow too. God has something for every day, every situation, everything. Great is his faithfulness to us. And then morning by morning, he gives us the mercies that we need to carry us through today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for all things. We thank you, Lord, for loving us with a love that sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes the love is so great that it just doesn't make sense to us. But thank you, because we know that it's a divine love that comes from you. And because it comes from you, it's perfect for us. It fits us. It's just the right size. It is the absolute epitome of the best gift ever. Lord, help us to receive the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, into our lives. Even now, Father, we confess to you our sins. We confess to you where we have messed up, where we have failed. Many times we've started out walking with you, and before we make too many steps, we have fallen. Lord, forgive us. Wash us clean and make us whole. Help us to remember that we belong to you, and a reconciled life with you is ours to share. Let us forgive ourselves. Let us move beyond where we are to where you would have us to be. Now, Father, today we need your help that you would help in every situation that is beyond us. And so much of life is beyond us. There are those that are sin sick. They're locked in. We need you to break every stronghold, every chain, Father. Break it. Because you are greater than it all. Save those that seem to be unsavable from their own point of view. There's nobody that is unsavable. And your will, God, is that every soul all be saved. Father, touch those that are sick and afflicted in body. And we don't care what the ailment might be. We just need you to touch and heal. Because you can. And if it's your will, do this, Father. We ask a special blessing upon the world as we still endure this pandemic of COVID-19. Father, be with us. Let us use wisdom. Let us use understanding as we go about to do the things as we're told. Help us, protect us, keep us. And then, Lord, help us that we might share the love that you have given us with others, that they too might come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that we all can walk as your children. We all can share, abide in the love that you have for us. We really do want to be who you want us to be. We don't want to be outsiders. We don't want to live outside of your grace and your mercy. We want to live in the middle of it, that we can take benefit of all that you have for us. Keep us, Father, and we shall be kept. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen. Now today, we want you to share this word with others that they too might be blessed by this love that God has for us. Go and live in victory. Celebrate the love that God has for you, understanding that this love will see me through and I shall be who he wants me to be. God bless you. We love you. Continue to reach out to us. Send us your prayer requests. Send us your praise report. You can go to nlracine.org and there you will see the envelope. You can click on it and send us your message. We want to hear from you. God bless you.